There's a line in every city that separates the rich from the poor, the strong from the weak, the haves from the have-nots. It's a street, the train tracks, a river, a sidewalk. It's time to cross the line. Serve the City is a global movement of volunteers showing kindness in personal ways to people in need. We are the connection between the good intentions and talents of people who could volunteer and a meaningful opportunity to get involved. Serve the City is for everyone. It's a revolution, a serving revolution. And it's going to change the world. Cross the line. Serve the City. Welcome to Serving Stories, a podcast from Serve the City. Hi, I'm your host, Ani Deal. You know, it's pretty easy to volunteer when you feel like the task you are doing is big and important. But when the job seems mundane and messy, and maybe even kind of smelly, some volunteers might hesitate. In Lusaka, Zambia, however, a brand new Serve the City team was not too proud to do the mundane and messy, even on their very first serving event.
We cleaned up the city and we had subdivided. Some were doing the actual sweeping, some were doing the unblocking of the drainages because some rubbish had blocked the drainages. And then there is a street in Lusaka, which is like the resting area. Some were picking papers.
This is Tabitha Kaonga, one of the city leaders of Serve the City Lusaka. Their first volunteering event was planned in conjunction with the city government of Lusaka, who determined that one of the main needs of the city was a massive street cleanup.
So we had the city council, we had the local government involved, and those were the partners that were helping us. And then we had a number of volunteers through the same partners that we had. So during our serve, approximately we had 700 volunteers.
700 volunteers. This is a massive number for a Serve the City team to mobilize at any time. And this was their very first event. Of course, it helped that the city was providing the needed support.
And with a partnership with the local government, they had provided trucks. So the local government were using their trucks to pick the rubbish and go and dispose them.
Picking up rubbish seemed like a very small thing to do for each individual volunteer. But if we serve with the value of humility, then we will not be too proud to do small things like this. And Tabitha saw many people put their dignity aside to come and clean up trash on that day as part of the serve.
And it really brought out the value of humility as we were saving. Because in the same saving, we had like the mayor of the city of Lusaka, we had the minister, they all demonstrated, they all participated in saving that day. And it takes humility for somebody who is in government to come to that level. They had also picked footballers ambassadors. These are the famous footballers in Zambia. So also part of the save, they're also saving with us. They're also cleaning up and picking the fish.
In Serve the City, we often say, many people doing small things together can make a big difference. And when you get a group of 700 people, well, the difference is noticeable.
We could see that the city looked transformed. It was very clean and the environment was very clean. And it like helped, especially like in the drainages, because when they stagnant waters, that's the breeding place for some bacteria, mosquitoes. So by cleaning that, it really helped even to contribute to some of the infections that the people of Lusaka may be exposed to.
The Serve the City Lusaka team has continued to offer opportunities for the citizens of their city to be involved in small, humble ways that make a difference.
We went to a first-level hospital in one of the constituencies in Lusaka. We partnered with some other few individuals, partners, and the mayor was also with us. And we also cleaned up the wards of the hospital. The mayor also was also helping in mopping. We had some other people who were sweeping. Some were cleaning windows. Some were cleaning walls. So it's like an ongoing project for us cleaning.
mopping mayors. It seems like an appropriate symbol for this value of humility, for the idea that no one should see themselves as too important to do small things. As Tabitha told us, sometimes it is doing these small things that brings us the most joy.
I think being able to help someone, it brings so much joy, because most of the people that have been volunteering with us, they've not just accompanied us on one occasion. It's like they came back for the second serve, they came back for the third serve. And it is something that brings, you know, it brings fulfillment. Like if you're not able to help in any way, then you can serve the community where we live.
When it comes to cleaning projects, there's a lot of variation in the small things that can be done. In the city of Berlin, Germany, the Serve the City team leads one particular cleaning project that requires an extra special degree of humility.
Typically, the couple of times that I've led the project, we've focused in on the month of November, because November 9th historically is the night that the Nazis came through many German cities and burned down the synagogues.
You can tell just from that context that this is going to be a sensitive project. This is Melinda Means, one of the leaders of Serve the City Berlin.
I am a North American who has lived in Germany for upwards of 20 years. Most of that time has now been here in Berlin. And the history of these stones, of the Stolpersteine, has become more and more something that I'm aware of as I've had the opportunity to take part in a ceremony where the stones are laid, where I see them in the neighborhood, particularly where I live, or where we've had other projects that were well known in that time of history where many Jewish families resided.
Stolpersteine. In German, it means stumbling stones, and it refers to little brass plaques 10 centimeters square laid in the sidewalks of European cities to commemorate the last known address of a victim of Nazi persecution.
They are laid into the ground in front of the residence that the typically Jewish individual or family lived in before being deported. It might not have been their last residence in that city. That would have been the last official address that they lived in. It was a way to commemorate all of these families. One by one, the stone has the person's name, then their birth date, their death date, their deportation, the location, if they went to a concentration camp.
When the Nazis destroyed Jewish cemeteries, many of the gravestones were repurposed as paving stones. In a subversive way, these Stolpersteine remind passersby who stumble over them of these people whom the Nazis wanted to be forgotten. As of June 2023, 100,000 of them had been laid in the cities of Europe, the world's largest decentralized memorial. So, what does this have to do with Serve the City?
So the nonprofit organization that supports the Stolpersteine, one of the web pages has a detailed description of how the stones get cleaned. And as I stumbled over that on the website, I thought, oh my goodness, this would be a great project. What makes it an even better project is that I can put my city, my street name in and look up just the Stolpersteine that are in that particular area. And then there's the history of those people.
And we're back to cleaning again. But this time it is cleaning not only a dirty piece of the street, but a dirty piece of history.
We've cleaned the stones. We've set out a candle, lit that, and then we've read the history. Somebody in the group has read the history while the others are cleaning, and we switch off to remind us we're not just cleaning a bronze stone so the sidewalk will be nice. This is representative of a family, of a person. There's several, you know, doorsteps around the cities where you'll see 7, 8, 9 bronze stones, because there's a whole family that they've been doing the history on.
This involves a special kind of humility, humbling yourself before the brutal realities of your country's history. We wondered what kind of people, especially in Germany, would sign up to do a project like this.
The last time I did it, there were just three of us who walked, and there was a German woman and a woman from South America. And each of us came to this project in a different way. The German woman in this season, the generations are so far removed, far enough away that this can also be a way to perhaps give back and do something good in light of the disarray that has taken place through history. The other woman, I remember her saying that this was just a way to learn more about history and be active in that and learn something new.
Melinda pointed out that one of the unique things about this project is the way the volunteers must embrace humility. It is not only by doing something small, and it is not only by humbling themselves before the history of people persecuted in their city either. They actually take on a posture of humility by kneeling on the sidewalk as they clean these memorial stones.
We can't be standing when we're cleaning. So we are kneeling, crouching around the stones, and that does not go missed by the pedestrians who are then needing to get out of our way. Typically, just the couple of people that are going to be cleaning the stones are the ones kneeling, although several of us might be down there so that we're all on eye level. If we're reading the story of the history that's about that family or that location.
This project is about much more than cleaning. And as Melinda noted, it impacts not only the volunteers, but also those who see the cleaning process and the candles left behind.
And in my own experience, I've had two kinds of responses as we're kneeling around the doorway of the cleaning. Someone from that building comes out and then, of course, sees us like, oh, like, what are y'all doing? And then they're like, oh, we meant to do that. We wanted to do that. It's November. It's, oh, the 9th was last week, right? Oh, we had talked about, thank you. We're so glad you are doing that. And we need to remember to do it.
The other kind of response is not so encouraging.
So when I walked by this particular store, he came out and that glare that maybe we all had our dads do, that we knew, he's staring through us. He stood on his doorstep. Now we're on city property. We're not on his property, but it is in front of his doorway. And he just stood and stared through us with this grimace and his hands on his hips. And they're like, what do we do?
Now the volunteer team had a decision to make. In the face of this man's disapproval, would they go ahead with the cleaning or not?
He's not causing us harm. We're going to continue to do our whole project right here. This stone is going to get cleaned. I'm going to read the story about the person there. We're going to light the candle. An hour later, on our way back, that candle's gone. We had also brought roses. That rose is gone. If he had spit on it, he probably would have too. But that's just one example of someone expressing, I'm not happy that y'all are here. And this is in front of my door.
But fortunately, this is not the usual reaction that the Stolpersteine team gets.
That was on a Saturday afternoon. That next morning, Sunday, on my way to church, I had to pass by a couple of the stones, and someone had come behind us, and our candles were still there, but on a couple other candles had been put down, and then on a couple of others, other roses had been laid as well.
In the Stumbling Stones cleaning project, volunteers kneel in humility before the persecuted people of their history. And Melinda sees some parallels with other projects Serve the City Berlin does.
We have another project that's very popular where the position is very similar. It's our food distribution project. We don't give out food while standing and talking to the people who are sitting on a plaza or on a sidewalk. We come down to their level so that we're eye to eye and we're sharing with them. They're very similar in the position that our volunteers are invited to take, because we are coming down to the level of the people who are in need. We're also in need of what they have to offer. For those of us that live in cities that are smattered with the Stolpersteine, we're in need of what those stones bring to our lives. Every day we have a choice. Am I going to pass by this person who is in need of a drink or a bite to eat? Am I going to step on top of the Stolpersteine and be on my way? Or am I going to walk slower or pay attention for a few minutes?
We'll be back in a moment with another story where the task of cleaning has a deeper meaning after this short break.
Is your group, school, or corporation one of the many that volunteer with Serve the City? If so, maybe you'd also like to sponsor our podcast. We'll feature our sponsor at this point on each episode and let the world know about how your group serves their city. If you want to know more, email us at sponsorship@servingstories.net.
And now, get ready to whack some weeds.
So it's Saturday morning, nice sunny morning, and it's January. So temperatures are just a little bit above freezing, but we still have over 40 people out this morning helping to clear the overgrowth at Elmerton Cemetery, which is a historically black cemetery in Hampton, Virginia. It dates back to around the time of the Civil War and has been active all the way up into the around 2010 or so.
You have just heard Dave Hahn, part of the Peninsula Serve the City core team in southeastern Virginia in the United States. Dave asked Jerry Holden, a member of their core team who got Serve the City involved in this project, to explain a little bit more about its significance.
Well, today we had a Serve event in the great city of Hampton at the historic Elmerton Cemetery. We are part of the cleanup and maintenance crew that helps keep the cemetery grounds clear and beautiful.
And so what's the significance of the cemetery?
Well, this is one of the historical sites where freed and emancipated slaves are buried. And the entire area is governed by the Barrett Peet Foundation. So they rely heavily on volunteers to keep it clean. So the significance is just being able to give back and honor those who came before us and paved the way for many of the freedoms that we enjoy today. So it's a great opportunity to serve those who have gone before us.
Almost 900 Black residents of Hampton are buried here. And in the adjacent Bassett Cemetery are Black veterans from World War I to Vietnam. But until a few years ago, nearly the entire area was covered by a 6-foot sea of grass, almost 2 meters high. Volunteers are still uncovering stones that were previously unknown.
It's almost totally done. Now, that's not due just to us. A lot of other groups come out there and work in this cemetery. Part of the significance of it, in addition to the fact that it's an historically Black cemetery, that by working in this and showing respect, you know, it's helping to do a little bit towards racial reconciliation, perhaps. At least that's our goal. Also, just to educate our volunteers on the history of African Americans in Hampton.
This is especially important given a major historical event that took place only 3 miles from this cemetery.
Hampton was the first place that slaves were brought to the Americas. At Fort Monroe 400 years or so ago.
Did you hear that? Only a few kilometers from this spot, a ship landed in 1619 with 20 to 30 enslaved African people. They were the first such in the English colonies, which had been established in Virginia only 15 years previously. No wonder Dave and Jerry are so passionate about helping volunteers not only to clean the cemetery, but to understand its context and how they might relate to that.
A large number of our volunteers, for instance, come from Christopher Newport University for this project, and they are, you know, predominantly white. And so it's a way to build bridges and to educate. There is a history in this country, right, of not showing respect to black people, to African Americans. And I think, and I'm not saying that all our volunteers were raised with that lack of respect necessarily, but, you know, as whites, we do have this white privilege, and it takes some humility to put that aside, to admit that we have advantages just because of the color of our skin.
The humility to recognize privilege and to honor those that have been disrespected, not only in the past, but in our present day. This is what lies at the heart of this project.
We show respect to people of color in this way, through manual labor, through doing some of the tasks that would have been very similar to what some of these people buried in this cemetery had to do, except they had to do it 12 hours a day, 365 days a year. And we were only out there for 2 or 3 hours, but still, it's a start.
We caught Dave making sure that some of the smallest volunteers on the project understood the larger significance of what they were doing that January day.
So this is Titus Staten. Titus, how old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10? And this is the first time you've come out to serve with us?
Second
time you've been out to serve with us. What is it about volunteering that you like?
I like the hard work. It's fun. And I like seeing the finished product after we've done all the work. And
okay.
Like, we've gotten so many bags of the straw out. It's satisfying.
So did you hear about the history of this cemetery a little bit this morning?
A little bit.
How does that impact you in terms of volunteering? What is that, how does that make you feel about what the job you're doing?
Well, if I feel like that I'm helping the community and helping respect these people that weren't respected when they died.
Okay. Thank you very much.
In our most recent podcast episodes, we explored how small people like Titus could do small things to make a big difference. But Dave also thinks that volunteering does something big to the hearts of kids and adults who volunteer.
I really do believe that a lot of them, they come away from these experiences just change in their view that doing something for others is a good thing to do. It starts with them feeling good about themselves, right? But, you know, eventually you get to the point where you realize that it's more than just feeling good about myself. It's making positive changes in me. And some of the kids, you know, that I talked to that day talked about that, how it gave them a new sense of who they were. And, of course, working in a cemetery like this, you know, and showing respect to people, even though they're no longer alive, and just showing respect to a community.
It is easy to see this new understanding in Abby, aged 13, as she talks about why she likes serving here.
I really like just knowing who I serve, like, especially since we're at a cemetery. I know, like, this, I'm trying to serve their memory, and these are a lot of African-American, like, activists, and they were like very involved in helping other African Americans like learn and grow and having a better life. So I think it's just a great way to honor their memories, cleaning up the cemetery.
There is one particular black activist buried here that Jerry and Dave like to remind volunteers about, an impressive woman named Mary Peake.
Yes, Mary Peake, educational pioneer and also known as one of the first African-American teachers is buried here, and her family is buried here as well. So she risked her life, and she did that to make sure that freed and emancipated slaves and their children would have the opportunity to know how to read. And she taught her first lesson under the Emancipation Oak Tree which is still alive and located on campus at the Hampton University site, which is not very far from here. So her family is buried here, and we always pay homage to her as part of our cleanup efforts after we're done, to make sure that we all know the purpose that we're doing it for, and just having that opportunity to say thanks.
Dave and Jerry, both on the core team of Serve the City Peninsula, come from opposite sides of the racial divide. But they and the team believe passionately that as people from both sides of that divide serve together with humility, positive change will take place.
We think that that's one of the powerful things about Serve the City, this idea of everybody serving. When you do that, you get to learn about the other the people you're serving with. And if you learn about them, you learn their stories, from that comes understanding. And through understanding, I think, is where, racial reconciliation is going to occur.
And this applies not only to racial differences, but all kinds of differences between all kinds of people. We must understand that all of us have needs and that all of us have something to give. Then we can serve with humility, knowing we are not better than someone else, but that each of us equally has something good to offer.
Recently, we did a bunch of stories that were related to our values. So our story on humility related to these two young men who were serving side by side. Both wore our bright green t-shirts. One was a Bonner Scholar at CNU, and one was a high school student completing court-ordered community service hours. But that day, the serving provided a level playing field for both of them. You know, they talked and laughed. As they moved furniture and hauled trash, you know, their conversation continued through snack and donut breaks. So, you know, you had the CNU student who never wore his academic accomplishments as a badge, and the high school student didn't try to hide what had brought him out there. So both displayed humility and simply focused on the tasks at hand, and they both made a big difference that day.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Serving Stories. If this story inspired you, please share it with someone else to encourage them. And subscribe, rate, and comment so others can find it as well. We encourage you to visit our website, servingstories.net, where you can see some pictures of this week's story. I have been your host, Ani Deal. Serving Stories this week was written and produced by Shannon Deal with the great help from editorial assistant Frankie Granger. Sound and technical production are by Parker Deal and William Munir. Parker also composes all of our music. Our logo design is by Jeremy Malengrow. Special thanks to the Serve the City teams in Lusaka, Zambia, Berlin, Germany, and the Virginia Peninsula in the U.S. for sharing your stories of how volunteering with humility is impacting your cities. We will be back soon with more serving stories about values-based volunteering from around the world. Next time, focused on the value of respect. Keep on serving and sharing your stories.